Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for those things that are great and that are small. The things that we see as good and the things we see that are not good, we give you thanks because we know that you are in charge of all things and we feel the joy of belonging to you. With and through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen. Life is full of wonders, and yet not all of life is wonderful, because surprises do happen, and we have some preparations on hand for that just-in-case situation. There's the verse in Matthew 13:25, "While men slept, his enemy came and sowed or planted weeds among the wheat." So in life, things like that can sometimes happen, and we deal with it, maybe at the time and maybe later. But there are situations in life that we get to figure out and follow the godly principles. We have cares and concerns for the things around us in life, and we make the best of the situations. And it can be whether we are thinking about being a missionary or a missionary overseas, or if there's a fire in our neighborhood. You know, we had that big campfire, and that was something which we all had to deal with. Sometimes we have health matters to deal with. And sometimes we have just all sorts of troubles, but we must remember that God loves us through it all, through all the troubles. God is there and he loves us. And the Bible helps us to see and understand who God is and how he loves us. There's plenty of examples in the Bible of troubles. People get into all sorts of situations, and they make people, we make these decisions, and we get trouble. That's just the way life is. We get to deal with it, and we get to examine how the people in the Bible dealt with this or that, and we get to have those examples for us to examine and help us to think through what we want to do, and how to do things well. That's what we think about. Sometimes we wonder about what will happen at the end of the age, because there's so many people who feel like it is so close. But do we know for sure? No, but it sure looks like it. There's so many indicators. I know I think of sometimes Revelation chapter 8, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I think about how interesting that was, silence. So we can use our logic to try to examine what was going on and try to figure it out, try to understand how it could have happened. What would have happened to cause that silence? Well, there's things that we just have wonder about. awesome wonder or seeking understanding? Seeking understanding is one of those things that we just do all the time because there are situations in front of us, we question them. And I think about the archaeological discoveries in the last 50 years also. And this is where people have been searching for understanding, searching for truth. And what happens is the archaeological discoveries have validated biblical history. And I know one of the things the people I like is Ron Wyeth. And he has been making biblical discoveries, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, more or less. And he documented what he discovered at the site of the Noah's Ark in Turkey. He showed the physical outline of where the ark came to rest, and there was a landslide there also. He showed the dimensions of the ark, and it lines up with what the Bible gives for the dimensions. It was on ground that the local people did call where Noah's Ark was located. So it even if it wasn't known into world history, it was known to the local people that that was the site of where Noah's Ark landed. What an awesome discovery. Oh, but another awesome discovery made by Ron Wyeth was that he located, as he searched some underground caverns in Jerusalem, he found the site of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant! Imagine that in Jerusalem. Wow! He did take pictures of it. Some of the pictures were clear, and some of them did not turn out at all. But there's witnesses, and you can listen to his story of how he discovered these instruments of God, you know, the Ark of the Covenant. And it is very interesting, the story he tells. So, yes, please look him up on YouTube. And so his name, Ron Wyeth, and he tells about the discoveries that he has been a part of. There's presentations that other people have made about his discoveries, but if you can look up him and his speaking, you'll get a more full picture of what he was involved with if you hear him speak about the discoveries. So by all means, look up his speaking about the discoveries, and the Ark of the Covenant is just amazing. There's pictures that are available on YouTube, and there's also him speaking. You can judge the truthfulness of what he is saying as you listen to him, as you hear him speak. You know, we all listen to people, and we have our own understanding of the truthfulness of what they say. And that's a part of why I like to listen to him also, as he gives the descriptions, instead of hearing someone else tell about those descriptions. Well, have a listen on the YouTube and you can hear about his discoveries. It is amazing. It illustrates that biblical history is indeed true, and it is amazing. So, you can also hear about newer discoveries that he has made and that other people have made. Look him up, Ron Wyeth, W-Y-E-T-H. He's an American archaeologist, and he is a born-again Christian. I think one of the most amazing stories that I have ever heard was that he talks about finding and taking the blood on the mercy seat, and he took it to a testing laboratory in Jerusalem. And from that, he found out that that blood did not have the 48 chromosomes that every human blood has. It only had 24 chromosomes. And so you have to look at this in terms of a combination of God and the human creation, Mary. And that there was one more, which was determining the male chromosome, the male that Jesus would be a male. But that's what this testing laboratory found out. It's, you know, by our human experience, it's simply impossible that this would have happened. But it did happen. Well, if you listen to his testimony, it sure did. And you have to believe it. Well, I do, because I heard him present the stories. It lines up with the Bible also. And that's the thing that also shows our discernment and how we can believe it or not. So Ron Wyeth, by the grace of God, has made a lot of biblical-oriented discoveries. Pretty much they were archaeological. He searched out Sodom and Gomorrah and did archaeological digs there. And as I said, Noah's Ark he found and documented. He also found chariot wheels in the Red Sea, and that indicated the location of the Red Sea crossing during the Exodus. So all these things Ron Wyeth has studied and examined from an archaeological point of view, and he has found these things to be true and has had the archaeological evidence to support it. They were discovered in recent decades for a time such as this. It is so important to realize that we also are here for a time such as this, and we get to witness what is true. In the Ark of the Covenant, well, let me say that about the Ark of the Covenant being discovered, what Ron Wyeth said was he was told that this would be presented at a time when the Mark of the Beast laws were passed. And so I have to think, wow, how interesting that this is the time approaching in the near future. There's so many people who understand that these days are at the end of the age, that we are living in a special time. And there's a lot that we hear that we ought to believe, and there's a lot that we hear that we ought to not believe. It's a matter of prayer and discernment. We must pray and ask God for discernment about what we have our understandings about. Now for Ron Wyeth, it's the same thing. Use your discernment and pray. Pray about your understanding about the information he presents and his own experience. They're good to know. It shows indications that we are indeed at the end of the age. But it's always the most important thing to believe in Jesus Christ, not Ron Wyeth. But our faith is strengthened by the historical truths that we see in the world that the Bible presents. The Bible really is true, and it is important that we realize it. So Ron Wyeth did have several discoveries in Jerusalem. And one of these associated discoveries is about the temple site where the third temple will be built. There have been two temples in Hebrew history that were built and destroyed in Jerusalem. And the third one is of special significance because the Antichrist will go into that site. Now, for years it was assumed that the site of the first two temples was where the Islamic shrine, the Dome of the Rock, site is. And so the people who were considering such things assumed that the Dome of the Rock shrine then had to be removed for the third temple to be built. So that was a common assumption, but it's not actually true. Because the first two temples have been discovered to have been built in the city of David, which is about 1,000 feet south of the Dome of the Rock Islamic Shrine. And that makes really big news. The news means that the third temple can be built any time now. It can be built, well, effectively today. It can be built without any delay. And the Hebrew people are certainly looking into it and are anxious for the third temple to be built. There is a group of people called the Temple Society in Israel, and they have been getting ready for the third temple for years. They have absolutely everything that a temple should have, and it's all ready to go. It's ready to be put into the third temple so that worship and sacrifices can be made in that third temple. Everything except the building is ready to go. But there is rumor about the building also, that there are building materials that have already been contracted and put aside at a nearby location to the third temple site. So that means that the third temple can be completely built in 60 to 90 days. 60 to 90 days is the estimate, if everything was ready, of how long it would take for that third temple to be built. So it's just about right here, right now, in our thinking anyway. The third temple is kind of talked about in Daniel chapter 9 and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And it talks about the Antichrist shall sit in the temple and show himself to be God. That's what the Bible says. So we can be pretty sure that it's going to happen just like it is stated to happen. It reminds me of the adage that we hear, that things happen slowly until they happen fast. And so we don't know when any of these things will happen, but we can see that we want to be ready for things to happen because they can suddenly happen very quickly. To me, what that means is we want to be ready for whatever could happen that would happen very quickly. Some people will be surprised and some people will expect it. There's just no way to figure that one out. It's just that things happen slow until they happen fast. Well, events and surprises could indeed happen very quickly. That reminds me of the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Now, in that parable, the commentaries say that there are 10 virgins which are to help the bride prepare to meet the bridegroom. And we realize that of these 10, 5 of them were able to complete the responsibility, and 5 of them failed to complete the responsibility. So you can look and you can see that it was desired that all 10 would be at the marriage supper, but only half of them made it there, and the other half were not allowed into the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper. So we have to say, why not? We ask, why did they not make it into the marriage supper? Well, look again. That's the parable in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And you can see that they didn't have enough oil to light their lamps. There's people who want to look and explain this as one thing being symbolic or another thing being symbolic, the oil, the lamp, the 10 virgins, all these things they view as symbolism. But I think the easiest way to look at it is just plain and simple in the simplest terms. And then we can look for other meanings if we want to, but look at the simplest terms first. We recognize that there is something going on here, that really God wants all of us to go into the marriage supper. But for some reason, some of us will not go. Why not? I think it's because we weren't prepared, just like half of the 10 virgins were not prepared. They did not have enough oil. So we know God loves us. It says that in the Bible, and it shows us in our life experience. And we want to love God back. That's the natural response to love. God seeks us, and we seek Him, and we obey Him. That's a matter of love, and that's how love will go both ways. At the end of that parable, that would be Matthew 25, verse 13, and it reads, "Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh." And I think that speaks to us about why we want to be prepared. Prepared in every sense. Spiritually, physically, and you could even say prepared to meet our Maker. All of these things are forms of preparedness. There are different ways to be prepared, with our expectations, with our material things, or even to be prepared financially. See, even nowadays we have lots of questions about the economy and whether there will be big inflation or big deflation, or even if the United States dollar will continue to be around because of the great debt we have. And so people are talking about Bitcoin as being a new currency. There is also a proposal for what's called the Fed coin, and that is a trackable form of electronic money that has been developed by the Fed, the Federal Reserve. See, there's so many people that are just anticipating All sorts of troubles. And what are we to do about it? I think we all do what we are understanding and what we are called on to do. There are questions always about what the future holds and how stable our situations will be. And look at the United States of America with its $22 trillion in federal government debt. That's huge. That is so huge. And what are we doing about it? It has been observed that there are four times more U.S. dollars in circulation between 2008 and 2016. So it sounds like inflation to me. Our money is being inflated away. And how else would we deal with a $22 trillion federal government debt? I know I've explained this, and I think of the million and billion and trillion, and how big that number really is. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. A trillion seconds is 32,000 years. It's immense. It's so huge that we can hardly grasp it. And we are $22 trillion in debt. I don't know how we are going to survive this. The debt is just so great. It is approaching the amount of the value of all the property in the United States, which, as I recall, was $34 trillion. Well, it's just a question of how do we recover from our national debt? How do we do it? I don't know, but I surely do wonder. It seems like there are people who are preparing for a collapse, both regular people and government people, and people in the international money system. There is the United Nations, World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund. And they are already preparing a plan for the failure of the U.S. dollar. It's so huge that we can hardly grasp it. But we might as well look into it, at least just a little bit, and try to figure out what we should do about it. What does it mean if our dollar collapses? What does it mean if there is a one-world political system and a one-world economic system? Well, I don't know that we really can have an answer for that. We don't know. But I think if you investigate it just a little bit, it's a good idea, and that gives you some possibility of preparing for that system that is called the Mark of the Beast system. Yes, ask yourself, what would you do if you were not able to buy or sell? Well, it seems to be headed in that direction, so you'd better look at it and you'd better think about it. Sure, look at what the Bible says. Oh, and look at what the Bible says about anyone who accepts the mark of the beast. It says they will be tormented forever. You can read that for yourself in Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 12. You don't want to take the mark of the beast. You don't want to be a part of that system. So how will we survive outside of that system? That's the question, and I don't know that there's any real answers, because that's what we do. We look at things individually, and we figure out how can we do it? How can we do it? No real answer. There's not one answer for everybody. We all have to find our own understanding, and it's it's a question, because there's so many people who don't see that it will happen even in our lifetime. And on the other hand, there are so many who do see it as happening right here in our lifetime. It's going to be a big, big deal. So many people believe that it will happen. Many people don't. But we all get to think about what we would do. A lot of people also think, oh, our God would say that if we took the mark of the beast, that we would be tormented forever. Well, it's a pretty absolute statement, don't you think? And so those people will say, I can't believe in a God who would make an absolute statement like that. But don't we all have absolute statements in our life? Yes, we do. For instance, think about being a parent and saying to your child, if you do such and such, you are going to really get into big trouble. Well, that's kind of an absolute statement, don't you think? If you do this, something big is going to happen. There's people who are married, and they would say, if you cheat on me, our marriage is over. Well, that's an absolute statement, too. See, we make absolute statements, and we are understanding that we can say such a thing. So doesn't it just make sense that God can make absolute statements, too, with absolute consequences? Yes, of course it does. It's okay for us to do, and it's okay for God to do. He's told us about it. He's given us fair warning. And so think about that. Think about the point of view that it's okay to make such an absolute statement. It's okay. God can do whatever he wants. Yep. Well, we can do all the thinking we want about it, and I think that's a fine thing to do, to think about what we would do if. And money is the big catch for the mark of the beast. What would we do if we did not have dollars? Well, again, give it some thought and don't be caught off guard. It's just that we don't know when such a thing can happen, but we see the signs. It is showing us that this system is coming. Now, for a few decades, well, going back more than a few decades, people were quite sure that the mark of the beast system would not be in their lifetime. But today, there are so many people who are confident that the mark of the beast system will happen in their lifetime. Just when, it's a pretty hard one to say, but they feel like it could happen very quickly. Now, only God knows the real answer to when anything in the future is going to happen, but he has given us plenty of warnings. There are warnings in the Bible, and there are warnings that people are giving, both Christian people and people who hear a word of prophecy. And they are saying, look out, watch out, be careful. Something just might happen. Soon. Well, you know that there was, a few weeks ago, I told about 10 large money fund managers who talked about a collapse of the economy, even a collapse of the dollar. Now, nobody knows the answer for when any of it's coming, but it's being discussed, not the mark of the beast, but the collapse of our money and economic system is being discussed among financial people, and it's a good thing to pay attention to, because it surely could happen very quickly. examine this question for yourself and form your own opinion. And then you see what it is that you want to do. If you look back in history, people pretty much have not been ready for a crash, for the currency to fail. If you go back centuries, you see that it has been a pattern in country after country that the currency has crashed and failed. And we can look back less than 100 years and we can see that there was the crash of 1929 and the Great Depression which followed it. These things do happen in history. In fact, if you were to look at history, the only surprise would be that we have had so many good years of financial stability. But we just don't know how long it will continue, especially with our $22 trillion national debt. Debt hurts everyone, and it's something that has to be repaid, or it crashes the system. So people can see that the financial conditions are quite similar today to what they were in 1929. And so many people are noticing that. Indeed, I would ask, what would we do if there were no more loans available, period? You see, in 1928, that was what was beginning to happen. The loans were becoming unavailable. And in 1928, nobody believed that anything like a financial collapse and a financial crisis could even occur. But it did. In 1929, the crash came, and the depression followed it. It was said, if you look at the writings from the time, it has been said that the goods and services lost 90% of their value. So, if you bought a $10,000 car, that would make the car sell again at $1,000. Obviously, it was a huge crisis. People suffered greatly because there was no money available. And the effects of the Depression have lasted throughout that generation and even the generation after, when people were so concerned that what they had would be lost. And so they saved. They saved and saved and saved everything from their dollars and their coins to rubber bands and string. They were just concerned that somehow it would all be crashing down upon them and everything would be lost. And that was just the way it was. So, could it happen again? Yes, of course it could happen again. And in many countries of the world, it has happened. Even in the last few decades, it has happened. In the last hundreds of years, it has happened over and over again. And the money that they used was no longer good. See, it could happen here too, even though we don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe that anything bad like that could really happen to us. But it could. It could. People in history have always thought that nothing seriously bad would happen. But it did. When I think of money failing, I think of Genesis chapter 47, verse 15. And it was about when Joseph was in Egypt. At that time, there were 7 years of plentiful crops, followed by 7 years of famine. People starved after that, and the money failed. Yes, look at that story again, because when you read it, instead of remembering the story you hear or have heard, it has a fuller effect on you. Genesis chapter 47, about when money failed and the crops failed and there was famine. And what did people do? Well, they sold what they had. They sold their animals so they could get food to eat. And then they sold their land so they could get food to eat. And then they sold themselves into slavery so that they would be fed and that they would have just enough food to stay alive. So that's what happens sometime in history. And what do? We have preparedness steps so we are saved from that kind of trouble. It shows that we should all have a supply of food on hand. Something that is a form of preparation for the just in case. We don't know what's coming our way. Well, we kind of do, and we kind of don't. The Bible, in Matthew chapter 24, in Luke chapter 13, and that was Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. They all talk about famine, earthquakes, and war, and pestilence. So we do know what is coming. We just don't know when it's coming. And so to have some preparedness is a good idea, and to do it while we can. We know it's coming because the Bible has demonstrated itself to be true. So you don't want to have food, you want to have other things? Okay, get some other things. That's good too. There are people who say, have your savings in silver and gold. There are people who say, don't put your money in the bank. I don't know. They might be right. At least keep some of your money out of the bank, and some of your money in food, and some of your money in, sure, silver and gold. And then, of course, have your preparedness supplies right on hand. And don't forget how important water is. Water is so important. So get a good water purifier. There's lots of water filters on the market, but like everything, you have to do a little bit of work to try to figure out what it is that you want to be protected from in your water. Everybody has their own ideas, and you do too, but you have to think about it. You have to do a little work, a little homework, to get a list of food and supplies. And look at the lists that are already made. And yes, I have one. Lots of people have lists. And nobody knows what your desires are, what your needs are, what your finances are. You know that better than anyone. And that makes you be the one who has to put a list together. Of what it is you want. You make your own list, but read the list that other people have made so that you can add, subtract, or compare to what your thoughts are. So, are troubles coming our way? They might be. When? We don't know. But prayer helps a lot. And that's something that we should always do. Pray and ask God. And remember that God does not cause the troubles, but he allows the troubles to happen, and then he uses the troubles to turn our attention to him. And as we focus on God, we will see the good things that God desires for us. But we have a part of it too, and we have to be responsible with what we have, and remember to love others. Love God, love others, and be responsible for the people who we are responsible for. And as a parent, that's also what we do. We are responsible for our children. And God is shows us things also. As you know, as a parent, when our children are needing consequences so that they look in the correct direction, we give them consequences, or we allow the natural consequences to come upon them because we want them to understand to do the best that they can do. And I think of God doing that to us. He allows the trouble. He allows the consequences so that we learn. We actually learn to do what is the best for us in the long term. So, do you think trouble's coming our way? Well, it sure might be. Do we know it? Well, kind of yes, but we just don't know what and we don't know when. We have concerns about living. We have concerns about overspending or having debt or about relationships or about what we do and spend our time with. And our decisions, they can catch up with us, just like with our government. Bad decisions or bad financial decisions, yes, and bad political decisions, they affect our future for a long time to come. So sometimes they're correctable, and sometimes we just have to live with the consequences. We have a lot that we can might have to face in our country because of the moral decay, and that has destroyed a sound basis of decision-making that we used to make in times past, decades past, centuries past. Moral decay, it's a problem. And if you look at Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it talks about the problems that are going to be and in the last days. It says, I'll just skip through this. In the last days, perilous times shall come, and people will love themselves, be covetous, be boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy. Those will love pleasure more than God. So it sounds like right now, don't you think? That's the situation in life around us. So can you see the moral decay? Can you see why our country might have consequences or even judgment? I think about Revelation chapter 18 sometime. There's a whole chapter there about Babylon the Great. Is fallen. Are we Babylon? A lot of people say, yes, America is Babylon. Yes, New York is Babylon. It's the spiritual Babylon, the physical Babylon, and there's a good argument for that. I'm going to just skip through that chapter 18 because it just has a description which could be current. Fornicators and abundance, living deliciously, and all the plagues come upon Babylon in one day. For in one hour thy judgment is come, and they shall see the smoke from her burning from afar off. where once there was merchandise of gold, of silver, silk and fine linen, oil, wheat, beasts, and the souls of men. The merchants stand afar off with torment and weeping and wailing. And then that great city Babylon will be found no more. It kind of, to me, describes these last days and what's going on. I skipped around a lot on that chapter, but you read the whole thing for yourself, Revelation chapter 18, and you can see that we might be in that same situation. And we, our nation, might face a sudden calamity, a sudden crash, because our nation is so contrary to God's will. We just might see a lot of collapse and bad things happen in our nation. Well, you can't be too surprised, because our nation is not doing God's will. And that will give us consequences, all sorts of consequences. We think of, well, I think of the 70 million, approximately, abortions that have happened in this country. And how can there not be consequences somehow from God? Now, God does talk about consequences, and he talks about what it will be like before the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the age, that there will be famine and earthquakes, pestilence and war. So yes, I say get ready. There's lots of reasons to see that trouble may well be coming. Troubles can bring us to good thinking and to bad thinking, both. It can bring us to care about other people and our community, like our church and our neighbors. And it can drive us away. It makes us more of what we are. But try to remember the great commandment of God, which is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if there is a calamity, oh, there's so many people who talk about an electrical grid failure. Well, that would surely motivate us to have that relationship with God and do a whole lot of praying for ourselves, for our family, and for our neighbors. So, could that maybe happen? Of course it could. We don't even know how serious things could get if there was an economic collapse, or if our electrical grid were to fail. And all we can do is have some preparations and then try to figure how to live after that. There's always hope and there's always good things. And we don't want to look back at what was. We want to look ahead to what it is we desire, a relationship with God, who loves us and who we love, and a relationship with our neighbors, which we are to care about, to love. So for whatever it is that is coming, we will want to have skills and abilities, tools, and that's all a part of preparedness. We can prepare for what would happen mentally, or which means we would learn coping skills. We would learn again the planning skills that we have, and we would have compassion. That is probably what would happen if we had some real hard times. So there's good things that would happen. It's not all bad, but it's not what we want or expect. And I often think about being thankful for the blessings that we have. There are so many blessings right here, right now, today. Look at the blessings. Don't look at the troubles. The troubles will get enough attention. Remember the blessings and the good things of God. We have wonderful things. Now, if there was a breakdown, probably we would not have the complex things like computers and cars. Those might well fail. But we always have to give thanks for what we do have. We will have clean air and sunshine. We will have life. Be sure to give thanks for the good things that we have, even if they're what we take for granted now. Good things are all around us. You can prepare as best you can, and there are people who want to prepare by what they call bugging out. Maybe that's a good idea, but it gets you thinking about what a person should have on hand. That's just normal. Water, food, a pocket knife, a flashlight and small radio, first aid, some tools, what you need for your personal hygiene. Sewing kits are good. Walking sticks are good. You might have to start a fire. Care for your baby or your pets. Have some paper towels and cloth towels. All these things are good for preparedness. And remember about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Have your Bible and a hymnal. Those are always good items to have. Whether you're at home or traveling, these will help with your joy in the Lord. Have all these things on hand for the just in case. And you can look at, write it down. And if you want to get my list of preparedness items, that would be good. I have one. Just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. If you want another broadcast of Christ Today, by going to www.christtoday.org, and that's all lowercase and no spaces. Well, thank you for listening today, and may you walk with God and with God. Shine your light, shine your light.